So tonight, I want to look at Matthew 23, the first 12 verses. This is Jesus talking to both the religious leaders and the common people. And he's given instructions to both of them, though only one side really listened. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach.
Teach.
They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to be observed by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by people. But as for you, do not be called rabbi, because you have one teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one Father who is in heaven. And do not be called masters either, because you have one Master, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We'd ask you to help us to understand what's being said and put it into practice with the world that we find ourselves walking around in. Give us wisdom to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. So our question was, what authority do pastors have? Now, this is an extension. It doesn't say anything about pastors in here. But it talks about people who are in authority. Now, pastors are often seen as being in authority. And we'll discuss that, and there's some reality to it, and some it's a little bit over the top. The background is easy. There are many unworthy teachers around now and back when Jesus was there. There were people who weren't worthy to be called teachers. Scribes and Pharisees were very fast and loose with the Word of God. They would use it to try to get ahead and try to get leverage for things. They love to make up extra rules that they themselves never really followed. Today we see people who will try to twist the law and so on. They'll try to pass laws that are absurd, whatever, because they're trying to say, I'm in charge, I'm going to decide what you have to do. But then you watch them. They don't do. How many politicians have we seen that got in trouble because they didn't obey the laws they themselves passed? That's just the way it is. You see, they're fast and loose with the Word of God, but they did know it. And the reason for this was very simple. God, as they were coming out of Egypt, told Moses to set apart certain people to be the priests. And he said, those are the guys are to know the Word of God cold. It's like today, the Supreme Court and all this kind of stuff. These are the guys that are supposed to know what's what. He added this little extra thing that they have to be somebody you trust. You don't just want some jerk to get in there. Today we see people getting in places just because they were buddies with the right guy, or they, you know, were willing to do something for him or whatever. But the priests were supposed to be the ones who knew the Word of God. The scribes should know the Word of God. Scribes were these guys that their whole life was copying the Holy Scriptures. And they had all of these rules about copying the Scriptures. That's why we don't have very many controversies about our ancient manuscripts of the Old Testament, because the Jews were death on this. You mess with the Word of God, they kill you. You know, and so being a scribe was a dangerous job if you weren't real serious about it. And so they would get in there and they would copy a page, and it makes sure that that page and the page exactly the same size, and then they count the letters, and they count, okay, the dots on the I's and crosses of the T's, and they did everything they could do to make sure that they got it just right. So the scribes knew the Word of God because they spent their life in it. Now, what does it mean? Maybe they weren't that keen on it, but they knew it. They knew what it said. So who has the authority to teach? Well, Moses told the priests, you're supposed to teach the Word of God. You're supposed to make sure that everybody knows this. Okay? And Jesus says that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That means they're sitting there and they're telling you what the Word of God says. And they were convinced, and the Pharisees and scribes were convinced, if they gave you a bunch of hooey, you better everybody back off, because here comes the lightning bolt. God did not put up with that. And they would not tell you something wrong from the Word of God. Other than that, they might go out and do contrary. They were tasked with teaching. Jewish kids, particularly men, not so much women, because as we all know, back then they had a very gender-centric society. But let me tell you, Jewish men knew the Word of God. Until they were like 12 years old, they were spending all their time learning what does God's Word say. And in what they call Hebrew school, and they still have those. Then they would be tested to be sure that they had a good understanding of it. So here we have these guys, and everybody's whining about it, said, oh, they're just fishermen. Let me tell you, just fishermen back then, and just carpenters, and this, that, or whatever you want to be, they knew the Word of God. I had a job, I was working for a guy who was a very religious Jewish guy. And he had the sweetest little daughter you ever saw in your life. Name was Sarah, and I called her Peanut. And one point I told her, I said, now I read in this thing that when it comes to a part in the Passover service, you as the kid have to say this long Hebrew thing. And so she did. Vroom. Laid it right out. I said, well, now, do you know what that means? You could translate that. And she translated it for me. And I said, that's amazing. I said, I got my kids in Sunday school all the time, and I'll bet you they don't know the Word of God anywhere near as well as you do, at least in the Old Testament. This was a girl. Now, modern day, we do more about teaching girls and so on, but that's the whole thing, is you may expect the boys, boy, they know this cold. But what's the actual practice that these scribes and Pharisees? Well, they didn't follow their own teaching. They'd tell you what to do and go off and do as they pleased. They made up stuff. Now, we always talk about the Ten Commandments. Boy, that's the heart of it all, the Ten Commandments. It turns out by the time Jesus got there, there were 608 commandments that they would swear every single one of them is as important as those first 10. Made Jesus furious. And so there were people who came up to him and they would say, "What's the greatest of these commandments?" And what he told them wasn't in the Ten Commandments or any of their 608 commandments. He said, "The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and your neighbor as yourself."
But the first part isn't one of the first commandments.
Do what?
The first part is in the first commandment.
Well, sort of, yeah. It says, you know, there's no other God but God. But, yeah. But.
Right, true.
They made stuff up. And he says they put heavy burdens on you, saying, "Do this, do this, do this, do this." And you don't see them doing it. But they had all this stuff you're supposed to be doing, and it turned out that all of the Pharisees were extremely rich. And the reason was they got to be Pharisees, not from being good people, but from being rich. So they didn't have to do anything. They could spend all day long every day fulfilling all of these silly stuff that they'd made up. While they're hiring other people who they're putting down for not doing it, they're hiring them to go off and do the stuff that needed to get done. And they show off to be praised. One of the things, I ran through a period of time where I knew some people, and there were like two or three of them in this one church who were pastor of this, pastor of that, pastor of the other thing. And you must refer to them as pastor. I'm a pastor. You know? And so I got to the point where I didn't want people calling me pastor. Because it was like, you know, I'm not sure I like that. Because I don't want to be a jerk like them. Mm-hmm. Then I found out that there were a lot of people who came to me and called me pastor in much the same way that the common people of that time who were so beat up came to Jesus and called him rabbi, which means teacher. When some people call me and refer to me as pastor, they're telling me, "I perceive that you care about me. You are my pastor. You take care of me. And so I take honor from that, and I take responsibility." Oh boy, if somebody calls me pastor, I have to take care of them now. But, like I say, the word is not that important to me. It's the fact that when somebody says it, if they mean it, it's a great honor to me. These people, though, they were demanding it. "You must call me rabbi. You must do all of these things." And then they would do things to get that. And some of these we don't really understand. It says they enlarge their phylacteries. Now, a phylactery is a little box where they wrote a scripture of some kind, whatever scripture it is. And they put it in this little box and they seal it all up and they put it on a thing that they hang on their wrist. You may sometimes see Jewish people, and there'll be this thing, and they've got this little box. Looks like, you know, that they got this great huge horn or something, because it's a box right in the middle of the forehead, and the thing holding it right there. Okay? Now, the Bible said, God told Moses, "You want to write these things on your wrist and on your forehead."
So you remember,
he didn't mean get tattoos and all that. He didn't put boxes and all that stuff. What he meant was, burn this into your brain. This is important. Remember it. Okay?
So but is that little thing mounted in their head, in their forehead? Or is it just like something that they, like a piece
no, it's of... No, it's got like a little strap that holds it on. Yeah, it's and like it's a, just a little box.
Like a headband with a...
And it's got...
Box with scripture.
We now have a thing on our bedroom door that's called a mezuzah. That every Jew will have at the door of their house. And sometimes many places in their house. And what it is it's a little thing, and it has the letter Shin on it, Hebrew letter. And this stands, I forget what I told you it stood for, but it indeed, it's the first letter of something very important. And it's just a tiny little thing, and you roll up a scripture, whatever scripture, and you slide it in there, seal it up. And then, supposed to, whenever you go in or out of that door, you're supposed to touch that mezuzah. Say, yeah, I remember God's word, right? And then you ask them, okay, what's written on a scripture in there? I forgot. But at any rate...
But they are supposed to have it memorized. I just
yeah.
I haven't memorized it yet.
Yep.
There's specific verses in Deuteronomy
yeah,
and Isaiah.
That they use for that. But then it says they lengthen their tassels. Now you will see a
prayer shawl.
Jewish person. Well, it's on the prayer shawl, but it's also on their underwear. They have this special underwear that they wear that has tassels that stick out. And so you put on your underwear, you put on your pants and have all the tassels. Well, if you make those tassels extra long, then it's, oh, look how religious that person is, right? And you have, they go across the front, downside, across the back, and at all four corners, there's a blue one. I forget what that means, but at any rate, it's just, the funny thing is, it's not in the Bible. It tells you to do it, but it doesn't tell you what the blue is and all this kind of stuff. They have all this stuff that they've made up. Right? Prayer shawls. There's nothing about prayer shawls in the Bible. They made it up. But at any rate, these guys, they get big ones. And they get long tassels. They get all, and everybody knows. And Jesus would talk about that sometimes they'd be going in and they'd make sure they were passing right by this corner. Very busy corner, just at the time they're supposed to pray. And it's like, oh my, I have to pray. So there he is, right on the corner, down on his knees, and he's praying so loud that everybody for six blocks can hear, right? And isn't he so religious? No, he's fraud. Anyway, those in authority are held to a high standard. And what we mean by that is, if you're going to call yourself a teacher, if you're going to call yourself a pastor, you have to do the job. And you have to be called by God to do it. I know this because for the longest time, I wasn't. God would tell me to go tell people what was wrong with them, and it would just make them furious. And then I would tell them, you need to do this. So everybody hated me. And for 35 years, people told me I'll never make a pastor. And then all of a sudden, my pastor said, we want you to start a church. And Pat will tell you, I was terrified. As everybody on the planet has told me I'll never make a pastor. What's going to happen? And one day, I'm standing there, sitting there in my living room talking to this guy, and God's sitting there telling me what to say. That's how you know God's called you to be a pastor. Because when somebody's hurting bad, right in the back of your head, you're hearing, do this, do this. This is what I want. Okay? It's the most wonderful thing you could ever experience. They should not, people in authority should not covet titles. Now we see this today in many different ways. In the Catholics, and I'm not picking on Catholics, just that they happen to be the ones who have what we call an Episcopal system. So it's hierarchical, right? And they covet this. They will try to be such a good priest or whatever that they get promoted to bishop and archbishop and cardinal, and then they can go and decide who's the pope, and sometimes they make bad decisions, which I think they recently have. But at any rate, they covet these positions, and they make people, you know, do obeisance to them and so on. Now, in the Protestant side of it, and once again, I've often told people, Baptist is not really Protestant because we didn't protest anything. Mm-hmm. We just were there. We were the ones who didn't go with the Catholics when they were created. But what we do is we say, oh, what seminary did you go to? Do you know how many people have to ask me, what seminary did I go to? And you don't want to piss me off that way, because I will get, and all of a sudden, I'll get into discussion with you, and I'll start talking about stuff, and this guy's getting this look of terror in their eyes, because they can't keep up with me. You see, I was trained by the great theologian Walter Fletcher Jr., who had a total of a high school education, and knew the Word of God better than anybody I ever saw in my entire life. Okay, I'm still trying to live up to him, but at any rate, so they get their doctor, and it'll be doctor this and doctor that. Now, we happen to have a couple running Puget Sound Baptist Association, Northwest Baptist Association. Both of them are doctors. What you call it, D-men. D-men, doctor of ministry. But there are people out there, and they've got doctor of religious education or whatever, all this, you know, and that's fine. But you don't get them sitting here and demanding. They don't play Jill Biden, I'm Dr. Jill Biden, you will, you know. It's like, you know, I tell you about how that works. I actually, when I went from the Air Force to the Navy, I lost most of my rank. And when I got my first promotion back to an E5, this one guy walks up to me and he said, doesn't it just chap your buns that a guy with only 6 years of service now outranks you when you have nearly 10? And I said, yes, Robinson, and if you could make $400 more a month, you'd make as much money as I do. You see, subpay and CPay and all that is based on time in service, not time in grade. And so when I made E5, I got a major. And he thought, oh, no. So he went and he looked it up, because in the military, you can always tell what people make. And so they went out, and he looked it all up, and he found him sitting over in the corner crying. Because here he was one stripe more responsibility than I had, and I was wrong. It was $450 a month. Don't care. Okay? As long as the paycheck comes and Mama still loves me, everything is fine. I don't play these title games. But there are those who do. The people in authority should be serving. We often hear that about the cops. I was hearing it today when they just had a shooting in Minnesota. Cops are serving. Serve and protect. They're serving. But we often refer to them as the authorities. Yeah, they're the authorities. But if they're doing it right, they're serving. They're there to keep people safe. They're not there to push their weight around. So what does this all mean to us? We've gone through all this and so on. What does it mean? Well, we need to know what the Bible says, because the Bible says what God wants from us. That's pretty much it. Okay? And we have people who know what the Bible says and can tell us. And so we respect them for that, and we listen to them, And we do what they say because they know. But we watch them. We test their teaching, both from Scripture and from actions. If the Scripture says they're telling me the right thing and their actions tell me they're acting wrong, then I go, okay, I'm going to follow the Word of God, but I'm not going to follow these guys. Authority comes from service. People listen to me when I stand up here and ramble on, not because they think I'm this great guy. Most people who've been around here very long understand that I have a master's degree in computers. I don't have anything for, you know, theological, this, that, and the other thing. But I did learn the Word of God. And so people listen to me because they know. I've had people say, and one guy, he said, don't you mess with Walter. He'll ask you who Mephibosheth is. Right? That's what my dad got me with that one day. And as it happens, we were playing what they call Bible trivia. Mm-hmm. And he said, who was Mephibosheth? And everybody goes, what the heck? They're about to throw it out. And I said, why, he was the last son of Saul. And I'm telling him, how in the world could you possibly know that? Mm-hmm. Well, I read the book. See, here's what it is.
No, your dad made you read the book.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the thing, is the people you want to listen to are the people who are helping you, not the people who are banging you down. These people had these Pharisees and scribes beating them down and telling them, you're not much of a much because I know so much more than you. And as it happens, the responsibility of those scribes and Pharisees was to not know more than those people because they tell the people and they bring them up to their level. And that's what I'm always trying to do with you guys. And I often get people and they get this shocked look on their face when I say something. Where did that come from? And so I say, well, let's sit down and look at it. And the next thing you know, people are going, I never saw that before. Yep. I've seen it about 28 times because I go through it every year. Mm-hmm. I go through the Bible. But the idea here is don't write somebody off just because he's a jerk. He might be telling you the truth. Check him out. Mm-hmm. But don't follow him if he's a jerk and he's off doing the wrong thing. Take care. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. Help us to do what you say and not just spout it. Help me to teach what your word says and to help people get closer and closer to you. Make us your people. Make this your church. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.